position in Christ. My focus when you're in church is that you will understand. I just want to give you a sermon. I want to give you the word of God to get into your spirit. Because when the word of God enters your spirit, you can live it and use it to overcome in this life. That's the purpose of the word. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the purpose of the word. When the word comes into your heart, it produces results. Hallelujah. When the word comes into your heart, what does it do? It produces results. Amen. Redemption in Christ. Open your Bible to Colossians. No, let me start with this. Let me start differently. Question. You with me? Why did Jesus have to die? No, let's say it this way. Why did Jesus Christ have to come to this world? Knowing that he's the Son of God, knowing that he's the Word of God, knowing that he has always existed and is equal with God, is God the second person, which is God the Son. Why did Jesus have to come to this world and die on the cross? Yes, I want two or three answers. Yes, why did Jesus have to come? Let's start with the youth. So I see at least three of them here. We go around. Why did Jesus have to come to this world and die? Any you first before I go to the others? Yes, Agnes.
To save us from our sins.
That's a good answer. But the question is, I'm digging. Why couldn't he save us from our sins from heaven? After all, God can do all things. Do you believe that God can do all things? So why didn't he stay there and save us from our sins from heaven? Why did he have to come to this world? And why did he have to die on the cross? Yes? Yes, try the youth again before we go to the others. Okay, just try some answer. We were digging into truth because the truth that sets us free. Amen? Yes? Okay, I'm going to move to the others if the youth are not yet ready. Yes, so anyone above 18 now, why did Jesus have to come to this world? And why did he have to die on the wooden cross? So actually, we're looking for two answers there. Because he could have come and not die on the wooden cross. Why did he have to come? And why did he have to die on the wooden cross? Yes, I know you all know the Bible. Yeah, hallelujah. Okay, please let me pass it to Grandma.
I thank him because he is the only Son of God. And God has sent so many people into the world, which the world has treated them anyhow. And then he decides, and being an obedient child of God, he obeys his Father and comes to the world to say, if I send my son, they will obey him. But still, it comes to this thing.
Amen. Thank you so much, Grandma. Thank you. That's a very good answer. We are developing the answer. First, is the only Son of God. Yeah? That qualifies him in a different way than any other person. Okay, we are developing that answer. Yes, Samuel, why did Jesus have to come to this world and die on the wooden cross? Yes.
Because man couldn't follow the laws and the commandments and couldn't uphold it. So Christ came to teach us how to live a way that's in keeping with God's law and God's word and to live righteously to have a chance at eternal life.
Amen. Let me just say this way. Because man could not save himself. Hello? Did you realize that no man could have died for your sins? Why? They are sinners too. Yes. Sorry. Why did Jesus come to this world and die on the cross?
The Bible says, "For all have sinned and they've come short of the glory of God."
Romans 3:23.
And also that the wages of sin is death, and the only way our sins could be forgiven was for Jesus to die.
Romans 6:23.
To take away all our sins.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All have sinned and they fall what? Short. It means that no matter how good you are, no matter what nice things you do. I know, sister, you know how to cook nice meals. Yeah, hallelujah. Brother George, am I saying something good? No matter how good you are, no matter how handsome looking, you know, you may be handsome looking like somebody. Hallelujah. No matter how beautiful looking, I'm not going to point to anybody because I'll be in trouble now. No matter how beautiful looking you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how much you do or give to charity, no matter how softly spoken you are, say hello. Oh, is everything okay with you today? Hallelujah. You are still short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. All your best acts, they are short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Romans 3:23. And they fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is what? Death. You know what that death means? Death doesn't start from physical. Death starts from spiritual. The wages of sin is spiritual death. You are cut off from the life of God. Hallelujah. So, bottom line, man, even the best of men, cannot save himself. Okay, so you've explained why Jesus had to come, because no other man could do it. Yeah? And like grandma said, he's the Son of God. You know, why Jesus came is that he was able to come and he was able to live righteous, blameless. He was unblemished. He was innocent to the very end. He said, Prince of this world has come. He found nothing in me. He was tempted like you and I were, but he did not sin. Hallelujah. He was tempted, but he did not sin. And why he had to come was that he had to enter this human body and identify with us. I don't know if you realize that Jesus is still a man today. He's a man forever. Still God, but a man. He still lives in the flesh. He's bounded to the flesh, just like you and I. He rose up from the grave in new flesh, but he's still a man. He's a God man. There is a man at the right hand of the Father today. And he did that for you. Okay? So good answer, but next question is, but why did, okay, he came to save us from our sins. But why did he have to die on the cross? Why does someone have to die on the cross to save you from your sin? Yes, can you link it? The answer is in the Bible. You can trace it from the Old Testament to the New. Yes, why did Jesus have to die on the cross?
Because the Bible says that cursed is he that is hung on the tree. He had to go through the shameful death so he can redeem us from the curse of law.
Yes, yes, that's a good answer. But I'm looking for someone who will nail it better. Yes. Yes. You are in the right direction. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? The crucifixion. Yeah? Youth. Where's the youth? Okay. Do you want to try? Do you know? Give us a try. You can't be wrong. Just try something. I'm not giving any prizes today. Yeah, if I'm not encouraging you to try, I'm not being a good preacher. The best preacher is the one that will encourage you to try. So try something. Do you know? Just give me an answer. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? I know the answer. To save us from our sins. Yeah? But why did he have to die on the cross? Why that type of death? Okay. Before I confuse you, open your Bible to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. Yeah? Am I right? Oh, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the third book of the Bible. Leviticus chapter 17. He's opening your Bible to Leviticus chapter 17. Today you are learning something that's so important for you. Leviticus chapter 17. And we're looking at verse 11. So I'm going to have one of my youth to read now. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Okay, who's going to be? Richie or Chichi? Yes, Chichi. Leviticus chapter 17. Please read verse 11.
For the life of the body is in its blood.
For the life of the body, or if it's King James, say the life of the flesh is in its blood, or is in the blood. Yes?
I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with God. It is the blood given in exchange for a life. that makes purification possible.
Listen to that. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification or atonement or forgiveness possible. Without Hebrews 9:22, another person, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. Let's have an adult now. Hebrews 9:22. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is the blood that provides atonement. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned, do you remember what they did? Fetchy, do you remember when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they do? They did like four things. Tell me the four things they did, or one of them.
They ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge and evil.
Yes, and then after they found out that they were naked, what did they do?
They hide.
They went to hide. Then what else did they do?
And then they lied to God.
They lied, yes. But what else did they do? After hiding, what else did they do? Think about what they did to help their nakedness. What did they do?
They covered themselves
with what?
With leaves.
With fig leaves or with leaves. I don't know whether it's fig leaves or leaves. Said. Yeah? You see those fig leaves they covered themselves with? It's like our acts of righteousness. Something you do to cover yourself. Or something you do to look good. Are you with me? But you know what God did? After God told them the implications of what they did, the Bible said that God made for them coats of skin and he covered them. Do you realize what God was doing there? Yeah? Are you trying to tell me that a woolen top is better than, a cotton top? That's not the issue. To make a coat of skin, he had to kill the animal. In fact, we know the skin he used. It was a lamb. We know from other scripture. He had to kill the lamb, shed his blood. The coat of skin, the covering there was not just physical. It was spiritual. Hallelujah. The blood of a lamb had to be shed to atone for that sin. Otherwise, they would have died much faster. Are you with me? And that's why all through the Old Testament, God introduced the blood sacrifice. When people sin, like Pastor Jimmy said earlier on, they had to bring a lamb. An innocent one. When I say innocent, unblemished. Yeah, no blemish. And the blood was shed. Yeah? As an atonement. A price or a payment for this sin. Are you with me? Yeah? Now, Hebrews 9:22. Yes? Let's ask Hebrews 9:22. Yes? Go for it.
Hebrews 9, verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood.
With blood?
And without the shedding of the blood.
Listen to that. Without
there is no forgiveness of sins.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. When we talk about this shedding, we're not talking about killing somebody or murdering somebody. We're talking about innocent. The innocent sacrifice, an unblemished sacrifice. And before Jesus came, the only sacrifice they could use was the lamb. Well, you see, let me tell you the problem with the lamb issue. Animals, they don't have eternal spirits. That's why you can kill them and eat them. And not be guilty before the court of heaven. Yeah, do you realize that every time you eat barbecue, an animal died? Hello? Are you still with me? Yeah? Even if you are vegetarian, your grandparents ate it. Hallelujah. But the reason why the blood of an animal cannot purge the conscience once and for all is that they don't have an eternal spirit. So, the only person that can qualify to do that is a man like yourself. Because as human beings, we are very different from animals. Not in the body, we both have bodies. Not in the soul, we both have souls. So your soul is your mind. An animal has a mind. Your soul is your emotion. Animals have emotions. And your soul includes your will. Animals have will. Some animals are stubborn. You know that, yeah? So animals have bodies and they have souls. But they do not have spirit. We can prove it from Genesis. Because the Bible says that when God was making the animals, he just said, let the ground bring forth. And let the seas bring forth. But when God was going to make man, what did he do? He said, the Bible says he formed the man from the dust. Then he breathed that spirit breathed into his nose the breath of life. That spirit. Amen? So, to have a blood sacrifice that will be valid for all time, you need a lamb with an eternal spirit. Now, any man could have qualified if it's for an eternal spirit. Because we have eternal spirits. You can never die. Yeah? When you die physically, it's just removing your body. Your spirit came from God. It can't die. It can only go to heaven or to hell. It can't die. It's a spirit. Spirit, a spirit cannot be destroyed. Yeah? And that's why the devil is still existing. Amen? And at the end of time, they will be cast into the lake of fire. They will exist forever there. Spirits don't die. They are eternal. Are you with me? So a man could have qualified. But the problem is that all have sinned. So though a man could have gone and shed his blood as a sacrifice for another man's sin, that blood is not acceptable because it's not innocent. The man has sinned. Are you with me? And that's why Jesus had to come. The blameless, innocent one. Only him could have done it. And he could not do it except without becoming a man. He had to identify with us. And then he shed his blood. Because without, in God's schedule, without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement. There's no remission of sin. There's no cleansing. Are you with me? Now open your Bible to Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. I want to show you what Jesus has done for you today, so you understand both the implication and the power. I'm not just interested in, massaging you with the scripture. I want to give you truth that will help you live victoriously. Amen? Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. Okay? Yes, I have another youth before we go to the adults. No, actually, we can have an adult. I have some ideas. Sister Frida or Brother Toby. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. Yes. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14.
Who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins?
Colossians 1 14. Yes? Yeah. Okay. 14. Yeah, please try. Go for it again.
Who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins?
Okay. Good. He just shortened it. Let's have another version. Yes, Samuel. Colossians 1 14. That's why I encourage you in church, always study Bible using different versions. Sometimes a version will put it better than the other. When you have like three versions, yeah? For me, my three versions are King James, yeah? New Living Translation and Amplified. It just gives me, a 3D view of what God is saying. Amen? Colossians verse 14, go for it.
In whom we have redemption.
In whom we have what?
Redemption.
Through
his blood.
Through his blood.
Even the forgiveness of sins.
Are you with me? We don't just have redemption because Jesus came. We have redemption because he shed his blood. Hallelujah. That blood is still valid in the court of heaven. It's called an eternal spirit. Hallelujah. That's why anytime you sin as a believer, you can go to 1 John 1:9. It says that if we confess our sins, what happens? He is faithful and just to forgive us. You know why I can forgive you? Because of the blood. Hallelujah. Now, for the person who is not yet saved, who is not yet born again. Yeah? Before you are born again, you are a sinner. You are born into a sin. Hallelujah. You are a sinner by inheritance. It doesn't matter if your daddy is a pastor. Hallelujah. Your salvation is a personal thing. Hallelujah. Now, when you come to Jesus, and you accept the sacrifice of Jesus. First of all, before you can accept the sacrifice of Jesus, you need to accept that you cannot save yourself. And you need to accept that without Jesus, you are on your way to hell. Because you cannot save yourself. All have sinned. Say all have sinned. Hallelujah. That's why I need a savior. That's why you need a savior. And when you come to the savior and say, Jesus, I need you. Save me from my sins. I'm not saying save me from, financial bankruptcy. Okay, it's still part of saving. Yeah. You know, when times we pray about all this, all these lesser things. I know they are important. You know, if you don't have food all day, you know how important food is. Are you with me? But the bigger issue is those lesser things. Yeah? It's about the salvation of your soul. That's more important. Because Bible says, what can you give in exchange for your soul? What? If your life is demanded of you now, any other position you have, what is the value? Hallelujah. When you come to say, save me, he does that through the blood he shed on the cross. Hallelujah. That blood is price. That what bought your redemption. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, I have redemption through the blood of Jesus. That's the importance of that blood. Now let me ask some other questions and then we'll move to the other side of the story. So, the blood of Jesus is what purchased your forgiveness. Amen. Hallelujah. The reason why God forgives is not because you are good. Amen. No matter how good you are, you have skeletons in the cupboard. He forgives you because you trust, you put your trust in Jesus. And you come to him through Jesus. John 14:6, he said, I am the way and the truth and what? The life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But I want you to understand that redemption is not just about the salvation of your, you know, it's not just going to heaven. Redemption also means that God has purchased you. Please, did you just read Colossians 1:14? Read verse 13. Please look at your Bible. Let's look at verse 13, the verse before 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Please read it.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?
This is part of your redemption.
And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
That's redemption. And then in 14, he now summarizes. Yeah. In verse 13, he describes what redemption is. Redemption is that he has delivered us from the what? The power of darkness. You see, sin itself is a consequence of darkness. Yeah? The reason why people sin is because there's spiritual darkness. When light dominates, it becomes difficult to sin. Amen. But Bible says he has delivered us from what? The power of darkness. Not just from the kingdom, but from the what? You see, because you might have gone away from the kingdom of darkness. Yeah? You're a Christian now, yeah? You've gone away from the kingdom of darkness. But if you are not careful, the power of darkness will still come and be manipulating you. Are you with me? You can be in the kingdom of Christ and the power of darkness is manipulating you. This is the reality. But he has not just delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. He has delivered us from what? The power. So how do I live in that reality? I say, I declare it. The reason why you have to declare it is that your spirit needs to be conditioned into that truth. Are you with me? The more you declare the word of God, the more you condition your spirit into that reality, then it becomes automatic. Hallelujah. You see, the word of God is not automatic. But when you believe it and you confess it, it becomes automatic. Are you with me? Now, say to yourself, I am delivered from the power. Not just the kingdom, but from the power of darkness. Now, look, what will you do when power, when darkness presents itself to you? Remember the blood. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Sister Claudia has been quiet. Let's go for her. You know, I know everybody. When I'm preaching, I preach with my eyes open. Revelation chapter 12. Chapter 12? Yes, chapter 12. Chapter 4. Am I sure? Is that the right place, Sister Claudia? Yes. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Go for it.
And they have defeated him.
Who is the him? Sister Claudia, who are the they that defeated him? And who is the him? They are the believers. Who is the him?
The devil.
And everything he presents, whether in life or wherever. Hello? The him is the devil and everything that comes from him. Because John chapter 10 verse 10 makes us understand that the thief, who is the thief?
The devil.
Who is the thief, Brother Tola? The devil. Anything. But let me tell you, how you identify the work of a thief is simple. He comes to steal, to kill, and to... When you see the sign of something being stolen, or something being killed, or something being said, whose part is it? God? Whose part? The thief. How do you overcome him? Revelation 12:11. Go for it.
And they have defeated him.
They defeated him.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By what?
The blood of the Lamb.
But let me explain to you something today. That scripture is not telling you that the way you defeat the devil is just, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus now. Satan has defeated him. That's just a dimension of it. Amen? The package is deeper than that. You need to understand that you have redemption through his blood. You see, for you to defeat Satan, you need to understand that you have been delivered from the power of darkness. Now, when you understand, you believe it. When you believe, you declare it. Until it becomes your identity. Now, when darkness is presenting itself now, you don't see yourself as someone who is trying your best to deal with darkness. You stand in that seated position in Christ and say, I have been delivered from the power of darkness. You darkness that you present yourself, you don't have the right. And you stand your ground until the darkness checks out. Hallelujah. That's how you overcome the devil, by the blood. Because the blood bought your redemption. If I am redeemed, I am no longer under the dominion of Satan. So when the power of darkness is the influence of darkness. When darkness is trying to influence my life, I stand in my place in Christ and say, I am not under the dominion of darkness. You symptom, pack your load. If you believe it, and you declare it, you will have it. And the importance of declaring is that you need to condition your spirit. You see, I told you, this reality, spiritual truth, you can lose revelation. You can gain revelation, and you can what? And lose revelation. Hallelujah. Why do we come to church? Why do we listen to sermons? Is the Bible not there? You cannot read everything by yourself. The reason why you come is that because we need revelation. We don't just need knowledge. We need what? Revelation. And revelation can be gained and it can be lost. So the reason why you have to declare the word of God into your life is to condition your spirit in that revelation so that you don't lose it. Amen. So when the devil presents, I don't want to use the word resist. You stand. The Bible says we should stand therefore. Hallelujah. Stand therefore. You stand and say, I am. You don't understand? I know what is presenting looks like the most difficult thing in the world. And there are times that medicine cannot help you. Sorry, doctor. Hello. There are times that medicine cannot help you. Even though sometimes the doctor will tell you, we've done our best. If they are religious, they say, let's leave it to God. So after they've done their best, now they are going to leave it to God. Why did you leave it to the government? Are you with me? Medicine will do its best. And thank God for medicine. Hallelujah. But one day I realized that I have the great physician. And I'm on his side. He's on my side. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. How does he redeem me? He has redeemed me through his blood. Amen. Everything now he's being stolen, being killed, or being destroyed. It's evidence of the thief. Hallelujah. And I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When I tell you that I'm a child of God, I'm not just telling you that, you know, like it's like if I come to say my name is Chichi Okafor. Did I say it right? Hallelujah. Yeah, that's your name. But that's not all there is to it. There's something deeper in that confession. It means that Mr. Okafor is your father. It means that you have rights. You can, when you go to school, okay, children, next time you need to, you know, bring this to school, you don't even bother about how you're going to find it. You just call me George. You don't bother. Do you bother? So next week, you know, you have to bring this money to school because we're going on a school trip. Do you bother how you're going to work hard to get the money? It doesn't matter if Mr. Okafor is working out, but you don't bother. Yeah? Glory to God. That is your right as a child of God. You have a right into everything that God has provided. And how did he provide it? Jesus died. Open your Bible to Romans 8. I'll begin to round up in 5 minutes. 5 minutes I finish. Romans chapter 8. Today I just want to measure on the blood of Jesus and what that blood has done. Why he died on the cross. What he has purchased for you. And you see, every time you go to God and you say, you know, it is not so, you are telling him that the word of God is not true. You say, Lord, deliver me from the power of darkness. You know what you just said? You just said that Colossians 1:13 is a lie. Hello, listen to that. Every time you pray as a spiritual baby, you can pray that because you don't know it. Yeah? You know we tolerate many things from babies. Am I right? Sometimes a baby will even poke you. You will tolerate it. The other day, a few days ago, I was carrying a baby and she was just pulling my bed, you know, for play. Like, you know, like Elvis, you know, like, don't worry, you will soon be there. Just pull your bed. After pulling it, it will just, you know, give you some blessing, you know, overflow of milk. You tolerate it. Why? Say, baby. You with me? But God has not called you to remain a spiritual baby for life. Hallelujah. He said, oh God, deliver me from the devil. But Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. So what I'm supposed to do when I face darkness, I'm not saying you are stronger than darkness in your power. You are not. Hello? In your power, you are not stronger than the devil. Hallelujah. But that's why you have to stand on the word of God. Believe it. If you want to result, you have to believe this word of God. If you cannot believe it, then you are just wasting your time. You are living on mercy. You want to live your life, the remainder of your life on mercy? Yeah? Say, I just put myself at your mercy, oh God. That's good. But do you actually want to live your physical life on mercy? The mercy of people. You don't want to do something better than mercy. Hallelujah. This is grace. The word of God is the abundance of grace. Hallelujah. The blood just has won us the gift of righteousness. Everything that is this word there is true. If you believe it, it will work for you. If you refuse to believe it, God cannot help you more than mercy. Are you with me? He said he has delivered you from the power of what? Darkness. But don't misunderstand that darkness will not present itself. It will present itself. But if you believe the word, you're going to stand and face that darkness. When I say darkness, it doesn't necessarily mean like all the lights are off and everything is thick dark. That's not what I mean. Darkness presents itself through all those challenges, all those problems, all those situations, all those cares. Those are the evidence of darkness. You don't have to face that darkness and speak to it. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, whichever of you shall say to this mountain, be removed. Why will you have the confidence to speak to a mountain? Because you believe the word. You know, his son said, he said, whose report do you believe? I am not under the dominion of darkness. The reason why I say that is because I am in relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I am in relationship with Jesus. Let me show you two things before we round up. Philippians chapter 2. Open to Philippians 2. You see, because there are two aspects that you need to understand this. You need to understand the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. I don't think we can separate them. If you are going to overcome darkness, you need to understand what? The blood of Jesus. And what? The name of Jesus. Philippians 2. Are you there? Welcome. Sasumbo, you're welcome. Good to see you. Happy Easter. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see verse what now? Who is there with me? Verse 9 to 11. Yes, let's add Brother Likon or Sister Sumbo now. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Who is ready? Alright, I'm coming back to you. Let's have one version and we have another version. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Please. That's like, you know, the last place I'm opening. Philippians 2, 9 to 11.
Whereof God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Yes,
that,
go on.
That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Okay, so Malika, are you ready? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Yes, we'll wait for you. You see, if all that Jesus did was to die on the cross for you, yeah, you cannot still be assured that of the victory. If Jesus died, and then all he did was die, and that was the end, yeah? Yes, your sins will be forgiven, but you won't have confidence to walk in victory over the devil. He did not only have to die, he had to what? Rise from the dead. Yes, let's have it. Another version. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Yes.
Philippians 2, 9 to 11 says, therefore God also has highly exalted
him. What's the word there? Highly exalted him. Go on.
And given him the name which is above every name.
Yes.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. I just want to unpack this truth, then we finish. Okay? Question. We have understood why Jesus had to come and why he had to die on the cross. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no what?
Redemption.
And every time now that the devil tries to poke your nose, remind him that the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. And you believe it. That's a victory. Amen? You never overcome the devil by trying to tell him that, well, I'm not that, well, I know I did, but I'm not too bad a person. No, no. He will floor you. He has been at it for 6,000 years. Reminding that the blood of Jesus speaks for you. Because you have accepted it. You believe it. Now listen, if you don't believe in the blood of Jesus, it won't speak for you. Hallelujah. But when you have believed, you have accepted redemption. It is belongs to you now. Question. Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Now I've proved to you that Jesus did not need to rise from the dead if all he wanted to do was forgive your sin. The lambs that were being killed in those days, did they rise from the dead? Hello? You know, in the Old Testament, they killed lambs and shed their blood, yeah, for atonement. Did they rise from the dead? So if all Jesus had to do was pay the price for your sins so that you can be forgiven, his death on the cross does that. He has shed his blood. You can be forgiven. Why did he have to not only die, but rise from the dead as a man? He could have gone back to heaven and not come back. You see, he could have died and just go to heaven. Why do you have to rise on the third day as a man? What does that mean for you?
I think to live in victory and dominion over sin.
Hallelujah. You hit my answer. You hit it. You hit it good. Hallelujah. If it was a day of prize, that's 5 pounds. Yes, that's another one. Why did Jesus have to? We know he had to die. Because without the shed, Lord, there is no word atonement. But why did he have to rise as a man? And he remains a man till today. He's a God man. He's still in that body. Bible says that when we see him, we shall be like him. Amen? Why?
Yeah, to prove that he has conquered death.
What? Because hallelujah, glory to God. Jesus rising from the dead means that he went into death. He went into your worst enemy in life is death. It's not even your finances, your financial need. It's death. A dead man cannot even, you know, earn money. Are you with me? He went into death, Jesus, the worst enemy. The Bible says the last enemy that will destroy it is death. He went into hell. He went into the throne room of Satan. Yeah? And he defeated them all. You know, let me explain. He had to, because if he didn't defeat them, Satan would have held him bound there forever. Do you realize that? He would have held him there. Hallelujah. He defeated them. And God raised him from the dead. That's the proof that you can victoriously in this life. Now, let me tell you, I'm running out. Let me tell you another thing. Why did God give him the name above all names? Is it because he was God before? If I can submit to you that he didn't need that name. He gave him the name above all names for your sake. Are you listening to me? Jesus is always God. That was that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by him. So it's not as if he needed a big name. He already had a big name. The reason why he gave him the name above all names is so that that name now belongs to you. That's your weapon. Hallelujah. It's your weapon to deal with everything called darkness. That's why he rose. He rose for you. He died for you. And he also what? Rose for you. If he died only, you will receive forgiveness, but you just be managing through life. Suffering. And smiling. Suffering. And saying, so God is good. Don't worry. At the end of life, we will go to heaven. Here we go. Amen. But that's not God's plan. That's just part of God's plan. That was the necessary part, because if you are not forgiven, you cannot enter into life. Amen? But now that you have been forgiven and washed by his blood, you are raised to life with him. You cannot live this life. That's why what I quoted before was not complete. He said, the thief comes not, but to kill and steal and what? Is that the end of the story? No. John 10:10, open to it. He said, but I have come that you can have what? Life. What type of life? Weren't you alive before he came? Is this a different type of life? Is it God kind? Is eternal life? Is divine overcoming life? Is Zoe, the God kind? Amen. And that you have it abundantly. That's why he rose. Hallelujah. That's why he rose. I need to just round it up there. Romans 5:17, we read it earlier. It said, through the death of one, or through the offense of one, death came and it reigned. He said, but much more now, through Jesus, we have received redemption. Because redemption comes through his blood. Amen. What have we received? We have received abundance of grace. Say grace. I always say grace is empowerment. Grace is not excuse. Grace is what? Empowerment. Something you can never do in your own power. Through grace, you can do it. Amen. You can never face the devil in your own power. But through grace you receive now. Through the name of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, purchase your redemption. You can stand and say, be gone, Satan. And he must obey, because it's not you he's facing. It's Jesus who is represented in the name. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we have received abundance of grace and gifts of righteousness. And we can reign in life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say, just say, I'm not a victim. Say, I've been redeemed. I have the life of God. I have the Spirit of God. I have the Word of God. Hallelujah. I have the word of Jesus. I have the name of Jesus. I can overcome. And I will overcome everything that life presents at me. It belongs to me because of what Jesus Christ has done. Hallelujah. I feel like breakdancing. Hallelujah. You know, when I was leading the service, I just shared testimony. This is very practical. Leading service, time that Pastor Jimmy just came to take over. I just felt a pain attack my knee. It was I sat down. I spoke to him. Say, the name of Jesus, leave my body. And it had to leave. That's how I live. I don't know about you, but that's how I live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, say, I've been redeemed from the power, not just from the kingdom. Please let me just break that down a bit and we'll finish. You see, I know you are born again. I know you have been, you are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. I know. But you see, the power of darkness is the influence. It can still go. The influence of darkness is beyond hell. It's beyond the heavenlies. The influence of darkness can reach anywhere. But you have not just been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness does not have the right to lord it over you. Amen? That's how you overcome by the blood. Not just by saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. You need to understand that that blood has bought you redemption. So when darkness presents, you stand and say, hey, I've been redeemed by the blood. I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm a child of God. I have the life of God. I have the spirit of God. Darkness leave my life. Whatever way is presented, you have to stand your ground. You have to maintain your ground. You have to stand your ground and maintain. If you are not willing to do it, you are not serious. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if you believe with your heart, the Lord Jesus, Romans chapter 10, and you confess with your mouth, you can see where the victory is, the resurrection. Amen. That God, because the implication of God from the dead is that you can live victoriously now. Amen. He said, because with your heart you believe unto righteousness. What brings you righteousness? The blood. And with your mouth you confess unto salvation. What brings you salvation? The name. The blood and the name. Say the blood and the name. Those are your weapons. Let us pray.